You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Damschroeder, and my guest today is former Ohio Attorney General Mark Dann. The sole focus of our discussion today is the Ohio Public Employees Retirement Fund and the fiduciary performance audit of OPERS conducted by AON Hewitt for the Ohio Retirement Study Council. Mark, before we talk about anything else, please explain the difference between a fiduciary audit and a financial audit.
Well, a fiduciary audit goes to the obligation to guard somebody else's money. A financial audit is a snapshot in time. A fiduciary audit goes into whether the decisions that are made are smart or dumb on behalf of the people whose trust has been invested in whoever the fiduciary might be, in this case, the Board of OPERS.
Now, the Ohio Revised Code requires the Retirement Study Council to have a fiduciary audit done at least every 10 years, and the law states that the audit must be done by an independent auditor. AON Hewitt is the advisor to the Ohio Public Employee Retirement System for alternative investments, and they're paid a fee that totals $3.2 million over the years. AON Hewitt, with a different group of employees, was hired to do the audit, fiduciary audit, and paid over $600,000 for that. Does this meet the legally required standard for independence?
Boy, I don't think so. Obviously, that would be up to a judge to decide, but it sure doesn't pass the smell test. I don't care what kind of a Chinese wall they put up between the departments at AON Hewitt. The fiduciary auditor his job is to be very tough on the decisions that the OPERS board made regarding alternative investments. And it would seem to me that they would have a great incentive not to be tough on them because of the fact that AON Hewitt had recommended to that board those investments or the investment strategy that they were following. So it would seem to me to be an unwaivable conflict of interest.
What can be done when the body created by the Ohio General Assembly, the Ohio Retirement Study Council, ignores the legislation protecting the credibility of the fiduciary audit and selects a firm with this kind of conflict?
Well, I mean, there's really only two ways to approach this. One is political. The Ohio Retirement Study Council is made up of mostly people who are either elected officials themselves or appointed by elected officials, and they should have they should draw this to the attention. And at the board meeting coming up this week, they should decide not to accept the audit, and I presume not pay for it either. The other alternative is to ask the judge if there's a clear legal duty that they haven't met, and so the real issue would be since they're not having it done by an independent auditor, whether they've had an audit that meets the terms of the statute at all, and it's been more than 10 years since the last one. So right now they're doing something for which they're not doing something for which a clear legal duty exists, and something called a writ of mandamus would lie, where you would ask the court, and either the Supreme Court or Court of Appeals, or even a common pleas court, to order the public officials to do their job.
Now, regardless of AON Hewitt's conflict of interest, there are important findings in the 155-page audit report. For instance, the standard of measure for OPERS is the same as the Federal Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or as widely known, ERISA. But because public pensions are not covered by ERISA, there's a huge difference on the consequences for failing to meet that standard. Explain the differences in remedy for us, please, Mark.
Well, and under ERISA, if a pension fund or any other kind of fiduciary of retirement funds fails to meet their fiduciary duty to their members, then a lawsuit lies in federal court, and you can not only bring a lawsuit and get specific performance and or damages on behalf of the members of the fund, but you can also Well, and those are the two things that you can get. But under this, when ERISA doesn't apply, and it's only very few, it's really only public pensions, state public pensions to which it doesn't apply, there's no remedy except to bring a traditional breach of fiduciary duty lawsuit or or some sort of a taxpayer's lawsuit under Ohio law. But it would be, you know, that's a real uphill battle, but it is challenging. But I think that would be the legal remedy.
Am I, just to clarify here, to understand that had the same fact pattern been revealed in a pension covered by ERISA, that any member of the pension could go challenge AON Hewitt and the validity of this audit?
That's right. They would have standing to do that. They would also be entitled to damages, potentially, not just on behalf of them individually, and perhaps on behalf of the whole class of member of beneficiaries of the pension. And they'd also be entitled to have their attorney's fees paid by the entity that breached its duty, whether that was the hedge funds or AON Hewitt or the fund or OPERS itself.
And aren't the members protected also under ERISA by the Labor Department and under the Securities and Exchange Commission?
Yes, and those federal agencies are charged with overseeing pensions. Almost every pension in America, except those that are owned and run by state governments, which are constitutionally exempt from that type of oversight. So Congress couldn't pass a law to control those, even if it wanted to, because the Constitution separates the powers between states and the federal government. So in Ohio has not passed a similar statute impacting its state pensions, with the exception of the one we've been talking about today, which is the Ohio Retirement Study Council. I mean, that's supposed to be the remedy to protect beneficiaries. In the way that ERISA protects beneficiaries of other pensions.
You know, Mark, it'd be funny if it wasn't so important to the 1.1 million people with a financial stake in OPERS, but AON Hewitt makes a huge case about OPERS paying banking fees that cost an extra $7.8 million while failing to do the math on an extra 1% paid on more than $30 billion. I think there's a connection between the unmentioned extra cost of about $300 million a year and the extensively documented $7.8 million. The connection is campaign contributions. The large investment management fees are going to people who send some of that profit to the Governor's Association, and then that laundry mechanism sends the dollars to the Governor's campaign. It's a Wall Street tactic practiced by both political parties and the pension fund managers. Since the state treasurer controls the pension banking relationships in Ohio, the governor can't shake down the banks, and this audit document is a bold-faced money grab for the governor, who has incredible influence over all of the pension fund boards. This document recommends taking over the power over legal counsel away from the attorney general and the power to select the financial auditor from the auditor of state. Does this sound like an OPERS power consolidation, all to the benefit of the governor, to you as well?
Well, certainly that would be the practical effect of it. But my bigger concern about if those moves were to be enacted would be that the minimum oversight that exists for OPERS and other public pensions would be further damaged. I mean, at least we have the auditor, state auditor, looking out with the right to come in and do an audit of really anything he or she wants to in the fund. At least we have the attorney general who can be on the lookout for firms that might, like some of these private equity firms that may have ripped off the state. And the attorney general has direct and independent authority to bring suit on behalf of the pension fund. What I worry more about than the consolidation with the governor is the fact that this would create a really great opportunity to just sweep problems under the rug until it's going to be too late. I mean, every month that the pension goes on with not realizing results sufficient to have it funded to meet the needs of the 1.1 million members, is another month. It makes it less likely that at the end of the day they'll ever be able to do that without a big subsidy from the state taxpayers. And, you know, talk about a challenging political environment. You know, I don't think that you and I and people who are not beneficiaries of, of those pensions want to pay that bill, especially if it's because the politicians and those that they appoint who have been running the pension have used it, one, as a cash cow for campaign fundraising, and two, have made every effort possible to make it more opaque, less transparent, and less accountable. And that's exactly what those three recommendations would do.
One of the other big findings in the AON Hewitt fiduciary audit is that OPRS has no process to verify the investment management fees it pays. And since these contracts also stipulate payment of expenses, you can be sure those are paid, but unchecked as well. OPRS investment management fee payments have gone up 5,660% since 2001. AON Hewitt's audit concludes OPRS is, quote, a well-run organization. Put on your political hat for me here. Will that be good enough for the legislature, or will this document bring some heat over these revelations?
Boy, I don't think it'll bring heat over the revelations unless people are able and willing, and some of the folks that are involved in the pension system, particularly beneficiaries or future beneficiaries, who are going to have to raise that directly to the legislature. Because, you know, the tradition on Capitol Hill and on State House Square since the Ohio Retirement Study Council was created was to rely on that. It's been historically a pretty honest broker. But the fact that they've hired AON Hewitt, who finds nothing wrong with their firm's own recommendations that OPRS invest in hedge funds that are unaccountable and impossible to value, like the Glouston Fund that you brought your lawsuit over, that seriously draws into doubt the objectivity of the Ohio Retirement Study Council. So when I was in the legislature, we used to feel pretty confident relying on their recommendations. Now, I really think that it's going to take those folks that are directly affected to reach out to their state legislator and force them to ask the difficult questions.
Keep that political hat on now. AON Hewitt looks at the probability of OPRS meeting the 7.5% annual return on assets in over a 5, 10, 20, or 30-year time frame. The probability of meeting that necessary return on investment is well under 50%. In other words, a system already in financial trouble is facing much bigger trouble as far as the eye can see. How much political turmoil will this process issue bring in response to a coming pension calamity? Just explain the difference in reaction, please, between citizens believing this happened to a well-run organization or an organization funding a revenue stream for political kickbacks.
Well, and I think that member people, what if pension beneficiaries start to realize how this outfit has been politicized to the benefit of recent governors by encouraging investments in these very, very hard to value alternative investments like private equity funds, like real estate that's very hard to value, and where those that are making money from those investments, the investment vehicles themselves, their officers are making contributions, whether it be to the Ohio Democratic or Republican Party or to the Democratic or Republican Governors Association. I think they're going to be people will be very distressed. They'll be marching on Columbus with pitchforks and shovels, or they should be.
You were my attorney in the public records case that you referenced earlier that ended with an admission that OPRS has no idea what it bought with a $300 million investment and that the contract behind that investment specifically bars OPRs from information on the assets in the fund. Now, isn't that at the very heart of the issue of OPRs fiduciary performance?
Right, and you notice no mention of that in the AON Hewitt report, because their advisor for that investment, that Gladstone investment, was in fact AON Hewitt. And shockingly, they're not going to find any fault with the work that their firm did.
That opens the door, doesn't it, to a challenge of the legality of this audit, because these are specifically the sort of performance issues that this audit is meant to red flag?
Right, and that's why the legislature, when it passed the law that created the Ohio Retirement Study Council, specifically determined that the auditor ought to be independent of the funds and not a regular advisor to the funds, as in this case. So it is, I think you could make the legal argument that it is as if this fiduciary audit never took place at all.
You know,
it would be essentially invalid if I'm reading the statute right, and the judge would agree that it's essentially a nullity, because it's the lack of independence renders it void.
Now, you've mentioned a taxpayer lawsuit potential and going for a writ of mandamus from any court, from common pleas all the way up to the Supreme Court. But the auditor of state has to verify the legality of payments, correct? So couldn't
the auditor of
state say this is an illegal expenditure and say we're not going to pay for this? This is essentially a finding of illegal spending?
Yeah, I think that would be I think that's a possibility. I think even the state controlling board could do that.
What are the odds of something like that happening, in your view?
Well, again, it's going to take a mobilization. Look, you know, fortunately for Ohio, our public pension funds aren't in an immediate cash crisis. They're able to meet their obligations day to day as it stands right now. But the sooner that the beneficiaries, the current members and people like my wife who are future beneficiaries from the state teachers retirement system, the sooner they get active and involved, the better chance there is that these problems can be solved without a massive infusion of tax dollars, which I think would be very, very difficult to accomplish politically.
Now, one thing that the state teachers retirement system shares with the Ohio public employees retirement system is internal fund managers, the people who select the hedge funds and select the private equity funds, are collecting very large performance bonuses off of gains that cannot be verified and have to be taken on faith. Do you think there's a connection between the fees paid without verification and employee six-figure bonuses also collected without verification?
Well, I think, John, due to the good work you've done in asking for the contracts, the contracts, the bonus agreements with the individual employees that are in the investment offices of the pension funds, they very specifically state that their bonus is tied to performance. What we learned during our lawsuit against Gladstone, and have no reason to believe that it isn't true with the other private equity investments, is that OPRS entirely relies on what the investment house, what the hedge fund, what the private equity fund, what the real estate investment trust tells the OPRs it's worth, and that no information flows from one to the other that would make it possible for OPRs to independently validate the amount of fees that are being paid, whether they're self-dealing, and what a reasonable value to place on those assets might be. So it's very troubling, because the alleged growth in those assets is the basis on which bonuses for employees of OPRS are calculated. So, you know, it's yet another compounding of the same, I think, very backward philosophy, or a philosophy that was built and designed to make sure that the politicians will be able to get the maximum benefit from it. And I look, you don't have to cast aspersions. You just have to look at what the facts are. The facts are that something's dramatically wrong when they've got billions and millions of people's pension money tied up in funds that they can't properly oversee, and that they have to rely on the value of the fund managers to decide what they're worth.
What will the political climate be like in Ohio if benefits have to be cut and there are 1.9 million Ohioans in all of the pension funds and they all have pretty much the same problems? OPR's just the biggest one. But if people have their benefits cut and they realize that the people who manage the investments and underperformed what low-cost index funds would have provided also received very large bonuses that tend to average well over the annual average salary for Ohio taxpayers.
You know, you're talking about 1.9 million people. Ohio is a state of about 11 million people. Maybe between 11 and 12 million people. So you're literally more than 10%, close to 20% of everybody in the state is in that fund. And I think it's very foolhardy for the politicians and those that are running those funds to openly enrich themselves and enrich their political donors at the expense of 20% of the population. What's astounding to me is that group is not better organized and attending these hearings and raising these issues directly and holding legislators' feet to the fire and gubernatorial candidates, because they could swing. Look, 1.9 million people could swing any election in the state. I only received 2 million votes when I was 2.3 million when I ran for attorney general. So that literally was, that's almost all of my vote. And nobody can get elected if the focus of that 1.9 million people is on them.
In a news column I write in the Gannett Ohio News Network, I compare the premise that the Ohio Public Employee Retirement System is a well-run organization to the inspection of an Ohio State Fair ride the day it broke apart and caused death and serious injury, saying in essence, Ohio oversight is nearly worthless. Was I too harsh?
No, John. I think you may have understated it. And I believe that when the folks who rely on those checks or plan to rely on them, like my wife in the future, for their to put food on their table and shelter over their head, that they are going to be outraged when it starts to dawn on them what people are doing with their money. Remember, OPR's the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System is composed mostly of contributions made by the employees, matched by the state, but often as part of a collective bargaining agreement. But these are folks who could have made more money doing what they were doing in the private sector, but chose instead to make less now so that they would have a secure retirement later. And for people to be playing with their money is the type of outrage that reminds me of what we went through back in 2005 with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation Fund and investing in things like rare coins and in single investor hedge funds which were designed to fail.
Mark Dann, former Ohio Attorney General, former Ohio State Senator, currently a national litigator specializing in protection of consumers from financial crime. Thank you, Mark, for helping us analyze the fiduciary performance audit of the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System. And thank you for listening to us on In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf.